I want to get into a fascinating subject that I believe is going to bless many of you. I want you to hear with an ear to hear and with eyes to see. But the book of Proverbs says, give me a hearing ear and give me a seeing eye. You know, a lot of us don't have hearing ears and don't have seeing eyes. When we're praying in tongues, many could pray because they're in our church, but some were battling to pray. You see, when I fail to pray in other tongues, I am a powerless Christian. I'm going to say it again. When I fail to pray in other tongues, I am a powerless Christian. And there's no more dangerous thing in Christianity than a powerless Christian, or what we call a carnal believer. A carnal believer, Paul says, are the ones that causes strife, envyings, disunity, fractions, and I'm going to share that just now. And it's all in relation to the language of the Spirit and speaking in other tongues and why we must speak in other tongues. And these things have taken place. I mean, you can take, for example, the AFM church, and I'm speaking, please, in general. I'm not speaking saying all of them. I'm saying in general. They used to be the church that believed in speaking in other tongues, that were called the happy clappies and etc. And the move of the Spirit. Yet, 80% of them I meet today don't even believe you have to pray in tongues anymore. Not one congregation member can pray in tongues in that church. And this is not a joke. This is serious. And you see how religion has crept in. Division, and I'm not speaking against them. I'm using them as an example, which nobody can deny. The time of denominations is over. Are you guys with me? The time of AFM and PPK and NG and this and Methodist and that and those things, the time is over. Okay, and God made sure that the old wineskins is no longer, so that new wine can be poured out into new wineskins. Because those type of old wineskins will hinder a move of God. I know, I preached in so many churches. When I was young, we would be fasting more than we would fast now. 10 times more. Why don't we fast a lot now? The Bible says, Jesus said to the young people, asked his disciples, why are your disciples not fasting? So he said, why do they have to fast if the bridegroom is with them? So if Jesus is with me, I don't have to fast. No, I'm joking, okay? That's what Derek Prince actually believed, but let's leave that one alone. So we do fast, but in those days we used to really fast. It was not a joke. 21 days water 5 times a year, very easily. 40 days on water, and you would walk in power. And you get into these churches and try to move in the Spirit, and nothing happens. Yet you have so much power on you that if you touch the right church that is open and honors the gift, God moves. So, you know, and it is amazing how religion and tradition can stop the move of God. There's nothing that hates Christianity more than religion and the spirit of religion. I remember when I just got saved, and that was before my mom and them were saved, but there was this professor that came out and tried to tell me to renounce tongues or duomini or something. I don't know which one, but either or. Try to tell me to renounce tongues because tongues is of the devil. And I was saved for 1 week. But I had the Spirit of God in me. Only thing I could hear was the Holy Spirit saying to me, do not answer them one word. Don't answer them one word. I couldn't defend myself. I didn't know the scriptures to defend myself. But one thing I knew is the Spirit of truth that was inside of me that bore witness with what happened to me. You see, how do you know you are saved? When the Holy Spirit in you bears witness that you are saved. It bears witness with your spirit. Your spirit bears witness with the Spirit of God that you are saved. And unfortunately in South Africa, we have to get Christians saved out of religious places. Are you guys with me? And we have to do that because religion makes people think they are saved. And it is an apostasy. Apostasy is when somebody preaches and you get saved in that preaching, but you don't get saved to the real Christ and really saved. And then you think you are saved. That is apostasy. Big great churches now that you might have seen the downfall of, I won't mention names. operated in apostasy. So people would get saved under their banner, but not really saved. But you can say, but Leona, how do you know this? How can you say this? Because if somebody calls out unto the Lord, they are saved. Yes, the Bible do say that. But if another Lord is being preached, Paul makes it very clear. He says, if an angel comes to you and preaches another gospel, a gospel that sounds the same, speaking about Jesus, for example, the Nicolaitans came into the New Testament church and they began to preach a false doctrine that Christ was, that the resurrection was past. And they began to preach and say that the resurrection was past. Timothy had to deal with the situations, and Paul told Timothy how to deal with it. It was so subtle, but what would it do? It would make the people's faith go off the resurrection. Because what is one of our fundamental beliefs of salvation? That Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and we will all be raised from the dead. There's a great resurrection coming. Are you guys with me? So they would say these things that, no, we're not going to be resurrected again. Or the coming of Christ is not going to happen again. And it is a slight diversion from the gospel. And it causes apostasy, and they become apostates. And that is how you have the Mormon church or the Seventh-day Adventist and et cetera and et cetera. It started with a slight diversion from Scripture, with somebody's revelation that didn't line up with the Word of God. And another gospel is being preached. And Paul says, let them be accursed. Are you guys with me? So say with you the language of the Spirit. So if you are a Christian and you don't pray in other tongues, you are a powerless Christian. I am going to say it out frank. I want to get into a lot of things this morning. If I don't finish, we're going to carry on next week. I really hope we finish because it's a good message. But I want to give you the secret source of Paul's power and revelation. Let's go to Isaiah chapter number 28, verse 10. Isaiah 28, verse 10 first. I want to show you tongues in the Old Testament. And you know, when we sit like this is not our whole church. We have so many people. There's just a rule when it comes to church planting that unfortunately only 70% of a building to maximum 80% gets filled on a Sunday. You cannot go fuller than that. So psychologically, people then only come every second week or every third week. And you've seen our conferences is our actual number. To a degree, not even everybody can get into our conferences. And that is why we have to have the building fund that we have. And a building fund is not playing games. We need 50 million to at least, you know, I thought land is going to be 8 million. I thought very wrong, you know. And when we looked, we couldn't find land below 25 million. We can't find land below 25 million. That is without services and etc. So then you're speaking of building on top of it. And we're only going to be building we're not building 5,000 seaters and have this grandizement of a dream. I understand why. I exactly know the blueprint that God has given us. What to build here, what to build in Krugersdorp, what to build in Cape Town. But the banks don't borrow you 1 cent for the churches. Nothing. Doesn't matter even assets or anything like that. So you have to do all those things personally. And so we've been building up things under the church. We're going to be trusting and praying that personal individuals are going to be coming on board in about 2 years' time, or from now till 2 years' time, which can stand as surety and assets and etc. That is how the church is built. Let me just tell you, by the way, people saying, oh, but the Bible says you shall not stand surety for it. Rightly divide the word of truth. We must rightly divide the word of truth. Okay? For us just to have this church, myself, Pastor Martin, and Pastor Chris has to stand surety. So now we're violating the word. Are you guys with me? It's normal. That's just the laws of the country. When it speaks of surety, it says don't sign surety for a friend that goes into debt. It's a whole nother thing. And please don't do that. Okay? But we have to, and I believe fully that God is going to raise this money. We already have a certain amount. But you know, after you build, then you're looking at another 15 million of interior and basic lights and screens and etc. But it will be the flagship church in this city. In Krugersdorp, it'll be the flagship church as well. And in Cape Town, it'll be the flagship church as well. So, and that is the only way we can spread and count as wings. But we're going to come, and I'm preparing you already, that in the next 2 years, we're going to be asking a lot. We are not one of those, when I say asking a lot, we're going to say, if you feel that that you have some inheritance, give sacrificially. If you feel, but you have saved up 2 million, 3 million, give sacrificially. Do you know the blessing of God that comes with that? We are not somebody, we are being audited every year. Okay? All our accounts. We are not somebody, I get so upset when I listen, I look at Facebook comments, I don't even look at them anymore, but there's one type of comment that I get upset with. All the others I joke with, but the one I get, and then on the news, and when they say that, you know, there's this people that write them, I say, oh, take your flock for money, make yourself rich, Leon. So I'll just answer, I said, I am, don't worry, taking all their money. But I mean the mindset. Your mindset reveals your stupidity, idiocracy, your lack of knowledge of the laws of the land, your elementary type of thinking, foolishness, moronic. I'd be in prison if I do that. Are you guys with me? We are audited. If there's any enrichment from a non-profit company towards myself, enrichment, it is a law that is broken. So all our monies here goes towards investments for the building that is coming up. 50 million is not a joke. Are you guys with me? And take into consideration, we own Krugersdorp. We built it. Everything in there is paid off cash. Just the broadcasting in there is 5 million. Everything in here is paid off cash. Just the broadcasting in here is close to 5 million, if not more. More than 5 million. Then we have other studios. Are you guys with me? Cape Town is paid off cash. The broadcasting, okay, they're building up their broadcasting, but they're getting close to, they already have cameras, they got lights. We sorted out their lights this week. It's paid off cash. So now it has to come to owning bigger buildings. And, you know, there was a move in America that I was with Apostle Maldonado, and I saw this, and they had revival like us, and they were one of the only churches moving in the Spirit during that time, about, let's say, 15 years ago, and they had to get a bigger building, and it was a couple of hundred families that just went and took and refinanced their homes, and they put all that money into the church, and they built a 8,000-seater temple immediately, cash free. And many of those families I met, I lived in their houses, and they showed me how they were blessed with 2, 3, 4 houses afterwards. The supernatural blessing of God, you cannot, but it's going to come ways that is unbelievable. It's impossible. I shared with our partners on our partners retreat how God blessed my wife and I unfortunately can't say it on a public platform, but I will share it with the church in private when the time is right. But I mean, just when it comes to normal private residence and stuff like that, the miracle money that appeared, no one, let me just tell and make this very clear, no one gave us money. Nobody came and bought me a house. Nobody came and say, yes, 1 million, yes, 2 million, because I know how people think, you know. People think, ah, oh, yeah, that family is giving this one so much. No one gave us any of that. Nothing. We had to trust God. And when I said we had to trust God, I had to take my savings. And then I had to do a deal or two with one or two other things. And then I ended up by borrowing a certain amount, a couple of millions. Okay, by borrowing. Not through the bank or anything, because we are flagged with... The bank looks at you as money laundry if you're a prophet. Okay? They say it out straight. So then... I had to personally borrow a couple of million from somebody, from a friend. And the time was coming. I thought, okay, let me just pay it. I need to begin to pay it back. And we couldn't realize, because the money was in the account balanced out, as if I didn't have to borrow the money. And for two months, we were sitting trying to figure it out. And I'm keeping asking, but let me begin to pay you back. And they said, I didn't give any money. It's all still, the thing is squared out. And it was an account that no one had. It was a secret account. Meaning that God still has the ability to move in an overflow where you won't figure out where things are. Now that comes from years and years and years, 10, 12, 13, 14 years of sowing. Are you guys with me? Really, it does. And then you see a harvest. A harvest doesn't come in immediately. A farmer sows and he waits for long. But eventually, the tide turns. And then the Lord again challenged us to give all our monies at this moment to the church, to the building project. We had, again, a couple of million, about 3 to 3 million, just over 3 million or so, to 4 million saved up personally. Because for, again, from 20 to 30, I had nothing. I never knew about savings. I didn't know about tax. Nobody taught me anything. And I was done in quite a lot. And the Lord told us to give all of it to the church, which we did. To give all our partners to the church, which we did. And that was kind of like a safety net for my wife and I, because I've seen so many ministers destroyed, their families destroyed. And I said to the Lord, I said, I never want to end up like that. I don't want to end up in ministry where ministry is over or so and my family has nothing. So I began to like save, you know, on the, and it's good, you must do that. So, and I don't think it is evil for me to have done it. If you think it's evil, you can stand up and walk out. Okay. The Bible says, cursed be the man who does not leave a wealth for his inheritance for his seed. So it is good to do that. And I wanted to do that. And the Lord said to us to give everything towards the church. And he said, when I do it, he will get individuals that will match that. And then and we will be blessed. And I've seen and now we don't have 1 cent in savings, not 1 cent. Are you guys with me? And because we gave it towards it, and the building project, and we can be openly with you. I think it is sitting, so our savings is sitting around, Pastor Chris is not here, so it's okay. I can say what I want, you know. Our savings is sitting around 10, 11 million for the church. But we need 50 million just to build. But just to show you, 10, 11 million, that's in investments, that's the church's money, meaning that, you know, you can go to other churches that have been going for 20 years. They can't show you one bit of savings. They don't have a building. They don't have anything of decency. We got 3 locations, 4 locations, fourth one in another country. And we own everything in it. And the one location, we own the building. So it should tell you something that we're managing money well. When we do courses and all these things, all this money goes towards this. Are you guys with me? Even if it says Leon de Pria or LDP, all of it goes towards the church. So please, I want you to be proud in that and know that the church runs with integrity. Know that if you give, even if you give sacrificially, the Holy Spirit will speak to you. Even if you do it now, just put hashtag building or put your name or anything like that, or put your name and say build or anything like that, vision, so that, because we will immediately allocate it into that account. And you know, for those who feel they want to give a seed like that throughout the next 2 years, I want to encourage you, please go to Isaiah 28 verse 10. Let's see what we can start off with this message at least. Isaiah 28 verse 10. For precept must be upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips, say with me, with stammering lips, and another tongue, he will speak to this people. Listen, Isaiah was seeing in the realm of the spirit prophetically, and he saw a people who began to speak in other tongues. Are you guys with me? Now listen to this. He says, for with the stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest. Say with me, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest. And say with me, this is the refreshing. Speaking in other tongues. The prophet Isaiah prophesied and said, it is a realm of rest and refreshing that will come upon your life. Once you speak in tongues. Why is it important? Man, when I'm in my room and I go, lesko, abroska, darivine, moshke, teken, and I press through, all of a sudden, after an hour or 30 minutes, a rest, a realm of rest comes on me. Refreshing comes on me. 1 hour of prayer a day will change your life. I'm going to say it again. 1 hour, say with you, 1 hour of prayer a day will change your life. Listen, listen, have your seats, have your seats. Christians cannot live without one. If you don't pray 1 hour a day, you are an unvictorious Christian. You cannot have victory without one prayer, 1 hour prayer. And I'm going to show you scripture. Are you guys with me? please, I want to challenge the church, and then after this, we're going to get into a campaign. I'm going to speak to Pastor Martin, Pastor Marie, but I want us to get into a campaign of the Word of God. We have all this stuff, really, and just 40 days, and it is going to be very powerful, because what I realize is people don't get into the Word. Some pray, but they don't get into the Word. Are you guys with me? And during that campaign, you will know the whole Word, but you're going to know very important, not like from script, verse, but all the important parts. And especially when it comes to the New Testament and etc. Because the Word gives you light. It increases your spiritual vocabulary. Some people pray in tongues, they go like, oh, this. I see these people online, they've been ministers for 10 years, 15 years. They pray in tongues. You know, these were some of the ones that came against us. I'm thinking, are you kidding to CT me now? Are you gonna? Is that gonna do something to me now? Your vocabulary determines the level of height you've gone with God, the level of ascension you've attained in the Spirit. Because He will give you a new tongue all the time for every new level and dimension. When somebody prays a lot in tongues, I can hear it with the spiritual ear. Those who do not, I can hear it with a spiritual ear. It's like a baby who can only say one word. Or you become a mature person whose vocabulary becomes articulate. It becomes broad. You become a wordsmith. So it can happen in the Spirit. And everything that is material comes from the spiritual. It is first the Spirit, then the material. Meaning that once you know how to speak in the Spirit, it solves your solutions in the material world. Don't underestimate praying in other tongues. Are you guys with me? Don't underestimate praying in other tongues. Have you seen it? This is a language that God has given. Now, first of all, before any people or country colonizes another country, the first thing they change is the language. When other countries came and colonized Africa and South Africa, what did they do? They changed their language. And then they changed education. And you'll see it all over. What does the kingdom of God do? Comes and changes your language. The moment you belong to the kingdom of God, your language is changed. In English, in your normal tongue, meaning you begin to speak differently, but you're given a spiritual language, a tongue. Are you guys with me? So Paul was a man who operated by pure revelation. Pure revelation. But there was a pattern to his life. I want you to see this, and I'm going to go quick. I want to explain to you something. Firstly, Paul got saved on the road of Damascus. Are you guys with me? Paul got saved on the road of Damascus. And then we see, secondly, that he received the Holy Spirit by the disciple Ananias that came and laid hands on him. When they laid hands on him, that is where he received the Holy Spirit. But there was a moment, a third degree in Paul's life, that he began to move in power. Two things was required for him to move in power. Speaking in tongues. Say with me, speaking in tongues. And number two, say with me, wilderness. We see Paul went to the deserts of Arabia, into the wilderness for many years, where he conferred with no flesh. And he received direct revelation from God. He came out of there, was received by the apostles, began to preach. But in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, he said something. He says, I do not come to you with eloquent speech or preaching with words of wisdom, man's wisdom and eloquent speech, but I come to you in a demonstration of the Spirit and power. Say with me, Spirit and power. So he says, I come to you first spiritual, speaking in the Holy Ghost, praying in other tongues, so that it can be a gateway and a dimension into power. Now, if you don't understand what I'm saying, have a sense. If you don't understand what I'm saying, I can see some people look at me like it's Adam on Mother's Day, and it's a good day to say that. Okay. When you don't understand what I'm saying right now, it's because your spirit has not been developed. Maybe you're saved, but your spirit has not been developed, which makes you very weak in the spirit. And how do you change it? Two things, but the first thing is praying in other tongues, getting into prayer meetings, That is it. Your spirit will begin to grow. Now you'll get hungry for the word. Now you begin to get the word in. And you begin to, you'll never get hungry for the word without prayer. Are you guys with me? So that is why Christians live a defeated life. I hear them all the time. Oh, this is going wrong. That is going wrong. Brother, I live an ascended life. You know how many problems have come against us? You've heard, some of you have seen the, I put some voice notes up on Facebook simply for our church to be informed of what has happened the last 2-3 years. Just to give you a little bit of an insight on the attacks that we go through. And it's there on our Facebook. I'll delete it in 1 week. I don't want it on my history. But, we just wrote a report. And within 1 day, people really began to come forward and repent. And I'm not somebody that's going to hold something against them if they're not involved in a full-blown criminal activity, although it was a criminal activity. But I hear their heart, and I dealt with it accordingly. But just to show you the nastiness. And these people that said those voice notes, that said that I'm in diamond trafficking, child trafficking, drug trafficking, kidnapping this one, doing that, I don't know what else, money laundering, fraud. They're going to shut our church down, apparently, by the hawks and through government officials. Another one said they're going to make me disappear and take care of me. They are all Christians, some even ministers. I promise you guys. They need the biggest slap and are hiding. They are ministers. Some of them are ministers. Don't touch God's anointed. And I'll be like David who say, I am his anointed. Because there's nothing wrong in saying that. He has chosen it to do so. You are his anointed. You must just receive it and walk in it and know it. That I am the anointed of the Lord. Let me tell you how the oil comes on you is when you pray hours and hours in tongues. The oil comes upon you, it sets you apart. When the devil touches you, that devil has just signed its death certificate. When the enemy touches you, they have signed their death certificate. Their expiry date has been sealed. Are you guys with me? Where are those that have come against us? Please, they've lost their ministries. And there's nothing in me, it's the God in me. But this comes from a history of things that I was taught. And at least I could say I was taught this well by praying in other tongues. So Paul had then a power encounter. So there are three types of baptisms. Are you guys with me? There are three types of baptisms. Jesus was saved in general. Okay? Then we see that when he came to John and he was baptized underwater, the Holy Ghost came upon him like a dove. And he received, the Bible says, the fullness of the Spirit. Are you guys with me? I'm not going to go to the scripture right now just for the sake of time. But in Luke chapter number 4, he received the fullness of the Spirit. Luke chapter 4 verse 1. He received the fullness of the Spirit. Then we see how he went to the wilderness. And he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. As he went into the wilderness, and the Bible says, as he came out under the power of the Holy Spirit. Under the power of the Holy Spirit. So there's another realm. So you have salvation, the baptism of salvation, where it is the infilling of the indwelling Holy Spirit. So the moment you are saved, the Holy Spirit indwells you. Are you guys with me? Then you have another baptism, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is where you begin to pray in other tongues. It is a partially fullness. But then there's a third realm. It's called the baptism of power and fire. It requires a wilderness, a trial, and a testing. Let me go on to the disciples. What happened to the disciples? They received salvation in the context of who they were. They believed in Jesus there. The Bible actually says in John chapter number 20 verse 19 that they believed unto the resurrection. Are you guys with me? But to put that as salvation, it can be argued. But let's, for example, say they received salvation. But then, a few verses later, they received an infilling of the Holy Spirit in terms of a level where they could go and do signs, wonders, and miracles. The Bible says Jesus breathed on them. And they receive the Holy Spirit. Second level. Are you guys with me? That second level is the same as Acts chapter number 2, where they received the Holy Spirit. Oh, my apologies. John chapter number 20, verse 19, where they received the resurrection, they received salvation, and they received the indwelling. Say with me, the indwelling Holy Spirit. And the reason they could go do signs and wonders and miracles is because Jesus delegated his name unto them and says, go and do that. They couldn't do it outside of him saying that. Then you get to Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2 on the day of Pentecost says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, as tongues like as of fire sat upon each of them. So we see the fullness of the Holy Spirit come in with them, the ability to speak in other tongues, but it doesn't stop there. And many Christians stop at tongues. Are you guys with me? Then it goes on in Acts chapter number 4, where it says they came together again to pray, and another baptism took place, because they were in unity and oneness and in one accord. One heart, one vision, one passion, the Amplified says. And the Bible says that the Lord shook the place with power, and they left that place with such boldness to preach the gospel that greater, in fact, the Bible says that great grace rested upon them. Great grace rested upon them, and fear came upon all that were around them. Because why? The baptism of power. So you have the baptism of salvation, the baptism of tongues, and then you have the baptism of power. The baptism of tongues and the baptism of power has to be repeated and continual all the time. The Bible says, be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Do not be drunk with wine, but be ye continually filled. Ephesians 5 verse 18. Be ye continually filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues. Are you guys with me? So this speaking in tongues, I don't want you to stay by ra-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. It is a language. The word tongue in English, tongue is maybe really a Hebraic word, but once you use it in the English conversion, it simply means language. A language has vowels. A language has feelings, has emotions. A language has intellect. A language has verbs. It's got a vocabulary. Are you guys with me? I'm not saying begin to talk as if it is a language and faking it. The Holy Ghost will take you in levels. The more you pray, you will see your tongue develop. And then you'll see another realm opening up in your tongue developing. Now, by virtue of your tongue developing, it is like a language. It is a key that is given to you to have access into a higher level. So now you don't have to pray and break through for 2 hours anymore like you used to in the past. All of a sudden, you have the ability with a certain tongue to pray, and you can be immediately ascended. You can have immediate breakthrough. It's called muscle memory. I don't have to pray 3 hours to get into the Spirit. Of 15 years of praying in other tongues, I get into my room and I simply say, Loshka aske, Lebroska ekenashka teke. And I raise my hands and the glory of God is there. And instantly I am in the Spirit. Instantly. But others, it might take 3 hours. But why do I have it? Say with him, muscle memory. It is like training. Have your seats. It's like I'm gymming now and I hate it with every fiber of my being. I think it is the most useless activity there is. Why do you want to sweat? Number one, I don't know why people want to sweat. There's no purpose to it. But I have to do it. So I gave myself a goal that this year I'm going to be healthy. So I'm training from December 3 times a week, every week. And I hate it when I wake up. I have to think of going to train. So I have to, in order for me just to be encouraged, I have to create my environment right. This is important. I'll explain to you now. I don't want to go sit in a backyard and lift weights. And I'm not a people person that much if I'm not under the anointing. If I'm under the anointing, I'm a people person, or if I know people. So you can say it's like an introvert, extrovert. Prophets are both introverts and extroverts. Okay, they're eccentric. They look depressed to some, bipolar to others. But so I don't like gyms. So I want to have my environment where I'm training at home right so that it motivates me to train, because everything in me doesn't want to train. When you begin to pray in other tongues, everything in you does not want to do it. The flesh wars against it. The flesh fights against it. So you must create an environment to, as you fix your environment so that it can motivate you to do it. Then you begin to put the flesh down. And the more you put the flesh down, and I found the more I train, even my mind still hates it, but my body beginning to want it, the more I'm gymming. Are you guys with me? My mind hates it, but my body wants it more and more. Your spirit is going to, you're going to always battle with your mind or your flesh, but your spirit is going to want prayer more and more the more you pray. You're going to feel a drawing every day, like, I want to pray. I want to pray wherever I am. I want to pray. Are you guys with me? So I can get to the scriptures of the first baptism, the second baptism, the third baptism. I'm not going to do it right now. I want to get to a point. And unfortunately, I'm not going to finish. We make it a two-part message. We finish next week with this. And I don't want you to miss it, because it is about increasing the vocabulary of your spirit. So Paul, so don't miss next week. Please don't miss next week. But we still have 15 minutes. So let's see. So Paul's, I want to speak to you about the secret of Paul. Go over to 1 Corinthians 3 verse 1. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 1. Let me read out of the Amplified. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 1. However, brethren, I could not talk to you as to spiritual men, but as to non-spiritual men of the flesh. And the New King James says, as to carnal men of the flesh, in whom the carnal nature predominates. He says, I could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as carnal men, as to mere infants, babies in the new life, in Christ, unable to talk yet, just making sounds. I fed you with milk and not solid food, for you were not yet strong enough to be ready for it. But even yet you are not strong enough to be ready for it. He says, still you are not, for you are still unspiritual, having the nature of the flesh, carnal, under the control of ordinary impulses. For as long as, now we get here, he says, why do you get carnal Christians? Why are you carnal? And Paul is speaking this whole book in relation to the gifts of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues, the mysteries of Christ, revelations, visions. And he's saying to the Corinthian church, he says, you cannot have any of these because you are carnal. But you are carnal because of a certain thing, and I'm going to give you a way out of it. Are you guys with me? For as long as they are envying and jealousy, and wrangling and factions among you, are you not unspiritual and of the flesh, behaving yourselves after a human standard and like mere unchanged men? A person that has never been changed by Christ, you're behaving like that. For when one says, he goes now to the second problem. He says, this is also why you are carnal. For when one says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos, are you not proving yourselves ordinary, unchanged men? He says, listen here. When you say you are of Leon de Pria, or when you say you are of this preacher on Facebook, let's attack Leon de Pria, you are carnal. You're behaving like carnal men. He says, for Paul, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. I can plant, Pastor Martin, Pastor Marie can water, but the one who ultimately brings the increase and growth is God in the place. Are you guys with me? So, but Paul gives on and he begins to give a solution. Go there to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse 7. In the New King James, 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse 7. Now listen to this. Paul is giving a solution. He says, but we speak the wisdom of God. Say with me, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Say mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. which none of the princes of the rulers knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now stay with me. Stay with me, the mystery. So Paul says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. We speak a mystery. And this mystery that we are speaking, that if the rulers of the princes of this world knew, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. So God is, now listen, so go through 1 Corinthians chapter number 14 verse 2 on the screen quickly. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2. Say with me, speak and say mystery. What is this mystery that we speak? For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but he speaks to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirits, he speaks mysteries. Say with me, speaks mysteries. So what is speaking mysteries? Speaking in other tongues. Are you guys with me? You're giving me like a blank stare. Say with me, speaking in other tongues. That means every time you pray, and if you still pray, ratatata, it's okay. The devil is afraid of that. But there needs to be growth. And what I'm saying is not condemning. It just tells me that a person hasn't pressed in, because if they would have pressed in, they would have had further growth. And if they were associating with the right crowd, being in prayer meetings, they would begin to grow. That tongues that that other person have would begin to rub off on them. If your kids hang out with others and all of a sudden your kids begin to speak like their friends, the same in the spirit. There's power by association that increases your vocabulary. Are you guys with me? So I want to say 98% of my time, never does a day go by where I don't pray at least 1 hour a day. Never. Then there's times where we go into seasons of ministry. Well, there's times where that increased to 7 hours a day. And there's times that now I might do it now. I might do an average of, I might pray 2 hours a day and spend a bit more time more than that in the Word. But you, Leon, you're a full-time minister. I did it before I was in ministry. You have a lot of time. A lot of people are like, I don't have time. Make time. You're speaking about a God who made time for you to die for you on the cross. And this is not a salvation issue. It is a success issue. For you to be successful, the mysteries that will be revealed to you when you just sit in your room and you just shut your phone off and close everything and you just begin to lasko take a brother. Now it'll feel so strange to you. You'll feel like you even speak on your own because it is still a low level. Just keep on. Put Christian music on. Just la bruska whatever you do it. And it just as foolish as what it sounds. The Bible says the mind is unfruitful when the Spirit speaks. But there's a moment where you break through and all of a sudden spiritual energy is imparted and it feels like you can just pray longer now. But you have to break through to it. Are you guys with me? It's called spiritual muscles. And then you worship again and then you pray again. But the key is to pray in the Spirit because you speak mysteries. You speak mysteries of God to you. And what it does is revelation now begins to come to your mind, because this, when you pray in the Spirit, it connects your mind with your spirit, and revelation is revealed in your mind. So when you sit and you begin to pray in the Spirit, all of a sudden you're reading a scripture and the scripture makes sense to you. Or you get a revelation out of it, or God begins to speak to you out of it. Because there's a link between your mind and your spirit when you pray in the Spirit. Praying in other tongues is the most dangerous weapon that is given to a believer. It is a $1 million check, if I can say it like that, gift that is given to a believer. It is a blank check that is given to a believer. When you can, oh my gosh, the Bible says that when we pray, we do not speak to man, but we speak to God. Now, there are three types of tongues. There's tongues different kinds of tongues, where the Bible says that when we pray, which happened in Acts chapter number 2, the people hear it in their own languages. I know Pastor Martin touched on it. Then secondly, you have what we call the interpretation of tongues, tongues for interpretation, which is which requires interpretation. That's tongues of prophecy. So when I pray, somebody else interprets it, and it's prophecy. Now you can interpret your own tongue. You must not pray without interpretation, and I'm speaking now spiritually, not saying you must interpret, but just when you pray, in your own personal language, which is the third type of tongue, which I call the tongue of mystery, unknown tongues. When you pray that tongue, it is your personal tongue language, personal prayer language. But there's interpretation there as well, that when you pray, and it might be 1 hour or 2 hours, begin to receive in your mind what God is saying to you. Open up the scripture and you begin to hear God speaking to you and getting into your solution for the day or the situation that you had in your, you might have a problem in your business. Get on, just pray in the spirit. Open up the words, but you will be shocked how the answer can come like this, because it's interpretation coming now. Are you guys with me? Now, this is where it gets better. Go with me to verse 10. Where we were, 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, I think it is. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse 10. Now this, listen to this. This is amazing. We see a switch of covenants. So he says, to the princes and the rulers of the world, I have hidden it. But, say with me, but, God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. Where's the scripture, guys? Put it on. Now they took it off. And there's always problems with the stuff. So if there's always problems, please fix it or buy new stuff. Let me read it out of, I don't have another scripture. I have an amplifier. Let me read it. Yeah, it's fine. Yet to us, God has unveiled and revealed them by and through His Spirit. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. So if He has revealed them to us through His Spirit. To others in the old covenant, He hid it. But there was a switch of covenants. And He said, I'm going to reveal it to my people. A secret and a hidden mystery. That if the princes knew it, they would have never crucified Christ. That this hidden secret and revelation that you'll imagine how it will change your life. It'll reveal the person who you have been called to be long before you were even born. It'll reveal to your destiny and your purpose. It'll reveal to you the identity that God is. A lot of people say, what must I do in life? I don't know what my calling is. I don't know this. Pray in other tongues. Pray in the Spirit. The more you pray, the more revelation comes to you. And you step into the purpose. The Bible says when you pray in the Spirit, you pray the perfect will of God. I'm going to say it again. You pray, which means the more you pray, the more you are shifted into the perfect will of God for your life. You should be getting so excited, but it's fine. Have your seats. Have your seats. Some are looking at me so depressed. The devil, it's not nice living for the devil, I know. He will abuse you. He will rape your mind. It'll make you so depressed, you'll sit in front of people like this. You need to get into church because you haven't been in church for... I'm speaking to a few individuals. You need to get hands laid upon you. You need to have the fresh fire come on you. You need to get into prayer meetings. Because that there is looking like, I don't know how to do it, but... It looks like cerebral palsy. Okay. Some people, they're so depressed. And I'm not... We've prayed for people who got healed of cerebral palsy. Okay. I'm just telling you how I'm seeing it. It's the devil doing that. And it is you who submit your life to the devil. But you can choose to submit your life to God. Very simple. Very, very simple. Because it is so simple, it is hidden from the wise. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. Say with me, the deep things. A Christian who prays in other tongues gets into the depths of God. And they themselves become deep. They carry depth. They carry substance. They carry weights. They are not a shallow Christian. When you pray in other tongues, you build a reputation, a prayer reputation in the realm of the spirits. The devil immediately recognizes you. He spots you a mile away. Why? Because there's a light that is on you. You cannot pray in other tongues without light coming out of you or being on you. It is, say with me, light. The devil is not afraid of the anointing. The devil is afraid of a Christian that carries light. The Bible says that light, darkness cannot comprehend the light. Darkness is exposed by light, not the anointing. The devil is anointed. The devil was anointed, but he lost photizo light, revelation light. Are you guys with me? Have your seats. The maturity of a Christian tells me the amount of keys and revelation they have that's been given to them by praying in other tongues. Now, let me close off with this because we're going to carry on with the next half of the message. Then next week, it is a long message and it would be too much for people to contain. So rather I stop here. You can remember what we have. And please take notes. Let's go on to verse 12. Verse 11. Let me read verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. Say with me, freely. They are spiritual things. They are mysteries. They are secrets. They are gifts, abilities that has been freely given to you, which means that you just need to have access. But the keys and everything has been given to you. It's a matter of using it, and you get free access into what God has for you. What is this key? Say with me, tongues. Tongues is the gateway to power. Paul says, I come to you in a demonstration of the Spirit and power. First the Spirit. I pray in the Spirit. I begin to pray in tongues. And then I go into the gateway of power. If you want to be a Christian who walks in power, say with me, tongues. Say it again. Say, pray in tongues. Stand your feet, stand your feet, stand your feet. Next week we're going to go on with the link between tongues and revelation and how to increase your spiritual vocabulary. Let me give you just a drop or a hint. The Apostle Paul said, I thank my God that I pray in other tongues more than you all. That word more means two things. It means quantity and quality. So we see the importance of quantity and time is important, and quality, the vocabulary used. What set Paul aside from other apostles? Paul, a man who wrote 14 out of the 27 books of the New Testament, a man who was taken into heaven so many times, visions and revelations. Him himself went into heaven, saw things that is unlawful for a man to even utter, he said. Where did it come in? He was in the deserts, in the wilderness, praying in the Spirit. You'll not see one general or one man of God being used in the supernatural who does not have a spiritual prayer life. If you believe and you're saying, I'm on this journey, I want to find out the call of my life, the destiny of my life, the purpose of my life, it starts by praying in other tongues. And not on your own only. If you're starting off, you will never be able to. The devil will kataza with your mind and you will stop in 5 minutes. It starts by corporate prayer. I think we'll just take our program, but before the conference we'll have all night prayer Friday before the conference and then the one thereafter. But we need, say with me, praying in tongues. Quantity and quality. I want your vocabulary to increase. Let this message just touch or put a bit of hunger in you, next week we're closing it off. We're closing this message off, but we're still carrying on with the series. Increasing your spiritual vocabulary. Raise your hands to the Lord. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, let the anointing come upon them. Let the power of your Spirit rest upon them. Let there be an increase. Let there be a hunger for praying in other tongues. Let there be a hunger for the language of the Spirit. Let the importation, where you've given me the grace to have prayed hours, sometimes 7 hours a day, where we have walked in dimensions of power. We have seen the blessing of God. We do not question the purpose, the call. You have laid out in our minds the blueprint for our lives. May it be revealed to them. Let them get this revelation of praying in other tongues. Say, I receive the ability, the hunger, and the revelation to pray in other tongues.